Good morning. It is so good to have you with us today. And we just want to, well, just say good morning, world. It's an amazing thing that we're able to communicate and take God's word through these cameras so many different ways to the people that are out there. So I want to just start by praying right now. We want to pray for our leaders. Timothy says that if we pray for our leaders, we pray for kings, and uses the word kings, but we'll put on their prime ministers and presidents and leaders of any organizations that influence us. Timothy says, pray for them that you might lead a quiet, peaceful, prosperous life. So let's do that as we start out. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for life. We thank you for freedom. We thank you, Father, for democracy. We declare in Jesus' name the wisdom of God upon our prime minister, upon all those that influence him. We pray in Jesus' name for the leaders of countries around this planet, that, Father, your will be done. We thank you that righteousness, Father, and God's truths and your word prevail. We thank you for your church and the leaders, Father, all around this planet of denominations and churches and those who are standing for righteousness. We pray that this is going to be the greatest miraculous forging ahead of the kingdom of God that we have ever seen. We thank you that light pushes back darkness, and we thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. Guide me today as I speak in your precious name. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you as you go into our coffee shops, we'll show you a little bit at the end of our message, to get some of the great stuff that is there. One of the things that's available is this week we did a men's breakfast and did a very unique message to men. I want to encourage you to pick that up. It's on CD, available at the coffee shops, and I think it'll be an amazing guide for you as men in your lives. And so make sure and grab that and pick that up. Today we're going to talk about an issue that so few Christians understand. And I want to talk about eternal life. We say it so flippantly. We say it so easily. It just rolls off the tongue of Christians that they just take it for granted. So yes, I have eternal life. And yes, there's life in Jesus, eternal life, everlasting life. And most people have no idea what that means. Most people will say, well, it means getting to heaven when you die forever. Yes, it does. That is one of the things that it means. As a young man, when I first began to study God's word and meditate, and, you know, I was raised up in a marvelous home. Both of my parents are great Bible teachers, preachers, operated in the gifts of the Spirit. I grew up seeing signs and wonders. I grew up seeing God speak to my parents and reveal things to them about me as a teenager, my brothers. I had no doubt whatsoever that God was real, that he worked in the world today, and I knew he'd help you to parent, he'd help you to build a business, that God was with us. But when I begin to study for myself and I begin to just dive into God's word, this was one of the things that changed my life. See, so many people, they pray incorrect prayers. They pray prayers that don't work. Now, you might say, well, Leon, all prayers work. That's not true. The Bible says, my people perish. For what? A lack of knowledge. And so there is a way to pray. There are principles about prayer. One of the things that I found out the hard way is that you don't pray to God about the devil. I would go to so many places, whether I was speaking as a young guy, as a young man, I began to see so many miracles because I began to learn some of the things that I teach today. And as I was in a paramedic program, and it was a pilot project for our our province, because there weren't any paramedics then. And I began to see incredible miracles as I went out on the cars into the streets every day, the back alleys, heart attacks, car accidents, shootings, stabbings, and begin to learn to pray for the people that were laying on the gurney as we're racing for the hospital. And I begin to see weird, unique things take place. For a while, things I couldn't explain. And God began to teach me about eternal life. Now, let's break these two words down. Eternal is forever and ever. Another word the Bible uses is everlasting. It's going to last forever. What will? This life will last forever. It'll be for eternity. Well, what kind of life is the question? If you ask somebody who's murdered someone and they get done their court and the judge gives them life, what does that mean? Well, it means in a bars. It means in a cell for the rest of your life. So when someone who's committing suicide and we would work with them, you know, they would say, I just can't live the way life is. And so when we say life that lasts forever, we ask, what kind of life? Because the people who are killing themselves and taking their lives, and by the way, the percentage of that is up hugely as the news and all the governments just continue to bash away at the darkest thing they could, and there's just a darkness that pushes at people. And the more that television and news and quote-unquote experts begin to predict and prophesy the darkness of the future, and they don't know diddly squat about it, but it affects people. And so people will say, oh, I don't want to live. I have been with so many people. The police would even bring me when I was working out of Selkirk and help me to work with suicides who were in the tempting suicide. If they were talking about God or they wanted some kind of spiritual help, I'd get a phone call and I'd come and get involved in the situations. And people would almost always say things like this: I do not want to live the way life is today. And so when you say eternal life, it means everlasting life. It means life like this forever and ever. So the question is, there's two words here. One is the length of life, but the other actually determines the quality of life. It is not the word for just regular life. You know, there's a movie called The Dog's Life. There's all kinds of life on this planet, but the word for life, when it says eternal life, is the word Zoe. Z-O-E. And that means that you have life that lasts forever, and the life that you have is God's life. It's not Leon's life. It's not Canadian life. It's not the American dream. It's not life as it is in Syria. It's not life as it is in depression. It's not life as it is in sickness. It's not life as it is in poverty. It is Zoe life, the very nature of God, the ability of God, the grace of God, that within a person is God the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got to understand that receiving eternal life is the most miraculous thing that will ever take place in your life. When you genuinely receive Christ as your Savior and you asked Him to come in, it's not just that you joined a club. It's that your sins were dealt with there as you accepted the gospel. It's that your spirit man came alive with life and a nature, not the nature of a dog, not the nature of a loser, not the nature of the enemy, but the nature, the ability of God Himself. Zoe life. So we need to understand that we carry this incredible gift. We carry this incredible power. Now, I've often thought, well, what's another word to try to explain to people eternal life? Well, let me give you aspects of what it means. It means everlasting peace. It means everlasting joy. It means everlasting health. It means everlasting prosperity. It means everlasting protection. It means everlasting. You can have the mind of Christ. You can have the ability of God. This eternal life that you received as a Christian is so crucial to understand, because if you don't understand it, you won't walk in it. You won't learn it. You won't develop it. You will live like a carnal Christian, meaning to be carnally minded, Romans 8 says, is just death. Yes, you have eternal life within you, and it guarantees you that you'll live forever with Jesus when you die. But then so many denominations today, they remove and don't want to talk about any kind of life that works on the planet. But the Bible is totally the other way. The Bible very clearly shows us that God's grace, which is his ability, is ours, and that as you get into his word and get to know Jesus, that this ability increases. If you want your ability to increase, if you want your peace to increase, your joy to increase, if you want the health of God, it's no longer even just the health of a normal human body, but you can have God's health. The Romans 8:11 says, if the same Spirit that made Jesus' body work after 3 days dead, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. So there's a ton of verses. That one right there is so obvious. It blows away these people that say, well, all we have is a little bit of spiritual life. We go through hell down here, and one day in the sweet by and by, you know, in the sweet by. It was a great song to sing if you've lost somebody you love, but if you're singing the sweet by and by, that old hymn, because you're living a life of that's awful down here when you can't wait to get to heaven to where it's going to be good, you're going to be shocked when you get to heaven that the life that is in heaven, and heaven is a perfect place location, was available to you in this war-torn planet, and that you could, like Jesus, walk the planet. Jesus never had a disease. He never had a poverty. He never had a need that wasn't met. There was never a demon from hell that touched him. Nobody laid a hand on him until he decided. He was filled with Zoe, was Zoe, the life of God. And so we've got to make a decision. When someone gives their life to Jesus Christ, the most crucial thing they could do would be to renew their mind to the new reality. What's the new reality? There is something inside of you. This something is God himself. John explains to us in the chapters, 15, 16, 17, as he's teaching about Holy Spirit, he explained that when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you believe on him and Holy Spirit enters you, that you are one spirit with God. There is a revelation here that the church has never touched, that there's a revelation that few people have ever walked in. The fact that I have eternal life, that's unstoppable life for eternity, that guarantees my home in heaven. But this eternal Zoe, this eternal joy, this eternal peace, this eternal health, this eternal prosperity, this is available to me now, and I am to renew my mind, make my body a living sacrifice, believe the truths of God's word and not how I was raised or what sciences say. Science is great, but they'll never explain the purposes of God, the reason for creation. Who is man and where is he going? There are so many questions that no science could ever explain, but only God's word can do so. You, as a born-again believer, have eternal life. One of the things I said earlier was that we've got to recognize that stop waiting for God to deal with the devil. Nowhere in the New Testament do I find any form of prayer that you can pray to God that says, God, I need you to deal with the devil. God, I need you to deal with his ability. I need you to deal with his curses. I need you to deal with the devil. There's no prayers like that. And yet there are very well-developed prayer formats that many charismatics and people used, that they are going to pray against the devil. They're going to pray against the brass skies. They're going to pray against, and they got all these doctrines they pull from nebulous verses and they pull them out of context. But I cannot find a place where I have to pray and talk to God about the devil. Instead, the teaching is, and I'm going to show you why I'm talking about this, is like, for example, in Ephesians 4:27, God is saying to you, don't give place to the devil. It says that you must resist him. It says, put on the armor, put the shield of faith up, and every missile he fires will be quenched and dropped. But it does not say to you, be begging and pleading with God to deal with the devil in your life, because this eternal life, this power, this authority, this ability, this grace has been given to you. When Jesus arose again from the dead and he's talking to his disciples, he lets them know, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he immediately turns and says to the disciples, now you go out and use it. Lay hands on the sick. You go out and bind demons. Don't worry. It says you can tread upon the lions, the scorpions. He's not talking about actual physical, although you can. There he is definitely referencing the power of the enemy, the enemy's traps, the enemy's plans and strategies. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. You are a part of the church. So a born-again believer who has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ is filled with eternal life. Romans 8:11, this life, if it's in you that quickened Jesus' body, it'll quicken your body. This ability that is in you can increase as you renew your mind, as you meditate in God's word and get these truths in your heart. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, look at what it doesn't say. It says, hey, when you got a needy time, when things aren't going well, beg and plead with God to come do something. No, it says you just come boldly into his throne room. And it says here that you're going to find grace, which is God's ability. And then you use the ability you've been given and get out there and declare. Jesus goes on to teach in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 19. He says here that whatever you allow is allowed. Whatever you stop is stopped. In the King James, it says whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. And people think that it's talking about a new kind of prayer, a prayer of binding and loosening. No, it's talking about direct authority, that now that you are filled with eternal life, now that you have this authority, you have this power, you have this life that is in you, that you don't need to sit around praying and begging for God to do something when the Word of God already gives you guidance on it and has already given you authority and said, deal with this. There's a complete metamorphosis that has taken place in a human being and in their rights and privileges when they are filled with the life of God. And you need to recognize that and believe that, because it's what you believe that causes God's word to work. God is a faith God. Jesus, he talked and he used faith. He spoke words that created. As you look at the Bible, there's some stunning verses, and I want to just take you through some of them. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, it says, they're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. All right? That means you are crucified with Christ. When old things try to resurrect themselves, no, you keep that old thoughts and ideas crucified with Christ. Then it says that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. This word life is the word Zoe, God's life. This life of Jesus. It doesn't say the life of a dog. It doesn't say the life of a failure, the life of a human, the life of a Canadian, the life of an African. No, it says that the life of Jesus, it's Jesus' life, may be manifested. That word manifested doesn't mean just to know about it. It means can be seen, can be experienced, can be felt. It begins to flow out of your physical body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life, Zoe life of Jesus, may be manifested in our mortal flesh. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What kind of life that's going to go on forever? The Zoe life of God. And then it goes on and say, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which aren't written in this book of John. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Whoa, I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm telling you there's 100 messages right here. You have life, the Zoe life of God. And the way that life is released into your world, your personal world, is to believe that this life is released through the name of Jesus. This life that is within you and I. So believing is crucial. The name Jesus is not a magic word. I have friends that use it all the time. They hit their thumb with a hammer and the first word that comes out of their mouth is the name Jesus. I've got people when they're frustrated and mad at somebody, they'll use a whole bunch of words that, you know, aren't culturally acceptable in some circles, and in one of them will always be the name of Jesus. I never could figure out why they don't curse with the word Buddha, why they don't curse with Hare Krishna, why they don't curse with some other God. No, it's always the name of Jesus. Well, here it's teaching us in John 20 that there is life in a believer, and that this life is released into an area when you begin to believe on that life and you understand that life and you use his name. I have used that name and I've seen God heal. I've used that name and stopped an attempt on my life. I've used the name and quietened my mind down in the attack and the lies of the enemy. I've whispered that name, carrying one of our children in the middle of the night, all snuffed up and like they do, trying to breathe and little bodies trying to get through flus and things. Just whispered the name of Jesus and transferred into that little one the very life of Jesus. Over and over again, I could tell you story after story, and I've written many of them in the book that we wrote, The Spirit Contemporary Life, where we talked about this release of God's ability and how it flows from us into situations. There are things you can pray about that are around the world in another country. There is no time and space that limits us. The name of Jesus can release protection to that son of yours on a battlefield or in the army. It can release God's healing power into someone that you're praying for somewhere thousands of miles away. Let me read this to you again. John 5:24. No, I'm sorry. This is John 20:30. It says here, but these are written. The word of God is written so that you could believe. Well, if God's word is written that you could believe, then stop treating God's word like a harlequin romance. Stop treating it like an action novel. Well, I'm kind of bored. I don't understand Elizabethan English. Oh, quit it. Go ahead and live your life without faith. Well, I believe. No, there are two kinds of faith. There is a mental faith of the mind, and there is a spirit faith of the heart. And this spirit faith only grows through the meditating and the learning and the acknowledging and the speaking of God's word. And so it's crucial that you understand that the Bible, these in verse 31, it says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You've got to believe in what he did on the cross, what he did when he arose, what he took, what he dealt with when it comes to your sins, the curse, this diving in and learning and growing in God's word, that you begin to believe all this truth. Then it says, so that you could have life. What kind of life? Zoe life, not Leon life, not your life, not your family life, not your upbringing life, not Canadian life, not American life, but the very life of heaven, the very life of God. And you have it through his name. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is eternal life? It is life that lasts forever, but this life is Zoe, God life, the life Jesus has, the life God has, this life, this nature, Peter calls it, that as you get into the divine promises, that you're going to understand, you're going to be a person who enjoys the nature of God himself. As you go through the word, I want you to begin to recognize and appreciate as never before that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you came alive with eternal Zoe, that everlasting God life. In John chapter 1 is an astounding scripture. Listen to this. It says, in him, Jesus, there was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it, which means can't understand it, can't overpower it. This literally means that the development of the human race, the development for you in life, it comes when the life of Jesus comes inside of you, that this life becomes light. Why is that important? Well, if you ever go camping, and it's pitch dark out there and the clouds are covering the moon and the stars and you can't see your hand in front of your face, it's amazing how that little flashlight illuminates the obstacles, shows you how to go around the quicksand and don't step off the cliff into the river, and oh, that was a skunk moving in the brush over there, don't move in that direction. Light illuminates your path. Light illuminates the obstructions. Light illuminates where to move to be saved. And so God's life on the inside of you and I, it begins to develop us. Now, as you stay meditating in God's word, this development isn't just in a human capacity. This development is to be a son of God, a child of God. As I begin to learn this in my late teens, and I understood this life, there were certain things that I did. I began to listen to preaching. Every day I would find a message, and I did not listen to garbage. I did not listen to, you know, preachers who were so shallow and didn't believe any. I wanted to find men of God who had a track record of miracles and signs and wonders. They had built the kingdom. There was something about them that had grown. And I would begin to listen to how they taught. And I would feed on that each day. I would go into the Bible and I would study. I'd get a hold of great teaching books. And every day I set aside some time and I begin to get into the word. And something begin to happen to my mind, my thinking, and my abilities. I found that as I was taking tests, and doing things, like basic trauma, when I was taking things for the intensive care, reading, heart rhythms and determining drug, that I was pulling off marks like 99s. And when we would go and we'd have to do tests where they would mock up patients in cars and you had to go in the jaws of life and immobilize and think through this whole scene, that I would go in there and I was stunned how peaceful I was when others were shaking and stressed out trying to pass. And it wasn't the way I used to be. I found that I could remember. I would study for exams and I would prepare for things and I would go in there, and when my mind would block, I would steady myself and I would say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring all things to my remembrance. And then all of a sudden answers would come and I would begin to write. I found in my late teens and early 20s a remarkable change in my acumen, in my intelligence. And not only did it help me in things like that, but I found that even when I stepped out of an ambulance, in those days I was working there, I would step out of the ambulance, and if I was the supervisor and I had a multiple collisions, I had bodies laying around, whatever it was, you've got to interpret this scene. You've got to maximize survivors. There's a complexity that they will teach you how to break down an accident scene. I would get and step out of that scene, do it exactly as they taught me, and all of a sudden have an awakening to something that no one could have known, and just say, stop, and then go over and deal with something that no one had seen or could even have known. But the presence of God, it lightened me up. It shone light on a situation that I needed to be aware of. I found out that as a pastor, as I began to pastor and came here to Springs Church, that many of the things we were praying for and believing for, that there was no way to know which direction, and we would seek God and God would reveal or at least give us a direction, and we might not even know why at times, but he would light up our path. He would light up things. I remember a man walking into our church one time, and all of a sudden the light of Holy Spirit went boom, and he just stood out to me. And I turned to one of our head ushers and I said, follow that man, don't let him out of your sight. I said, I don't care, when he goes to the bathroom, you walk into the bathroom. If he knows he's being followed, I don't care. Don't you leave him alone for 1 minute in this church. And they agreed. Later we found out this was the man who had killed his own wife and done just despicable things and cut her up. And here he was attending our church. And yet, how could I know that? He looked normal. Everything looked together. But as I was walking down the hall, the life of God on the inside of me lights up my darkness. It lights up your darkness. And all of a sudden I knew, danger. Follow. Moms, he will literally light up your darkness in raising your children. When you've got teens running all over the city, he will light up your ignorance about something. There is something unique about the life of God that heals your body, flows from you to others in prayer, that awakens something on the inside of you, and you can have the mind of Christ. This eternal life, it is how you deal with the devil. You don't sit around waiting for God. You just go in the name of Jesus. When thoughts come in that are negative and fearful and scary, you've got to have faith. It is faith that snuffs that mess out. You don't sit around praying and begging for God. That's an entire wasted month if you're going to be praying all month to deal with the devil. You've got the authority. And you've got the ability, because authority and ability are two different things. If a policeman steps out in front of a semi that is coming down the highway and he's wearing his uniform and his car is parked there with the lights flashing and he puts up his hand, he's got authority and you are to stop. But he doesn't have the ability to stop that thing. And so if that truck driver decides to disobey his authority and come barreling through the scene of this check stop, that policeman then has to radio ahead and make sure he accesses the ability. They can get guns and they can get things to destroy tires and whatever it's going to take. They'll get the ability to stop him. Authority and ability are two different things. And the Bible very clearly teaches us that because of Jesus, you've been given authority over whatever's going on this planet. And like with that authority, you have the life of God on the inside of you. Today, my time is up, but I want to challenge you as you go through the Bible and you read this term, everlasting life, eternal life. Stop reading through it like it's just a free ticket to heaven. Thank God eternity is going to be done in heaven, yes, but you need to recognize this eternal life will flow from you. It can be spoken towards mountains. It can be spoken over a sick child. It can be spoken over your business and your career. It can be prophesied into your future. When you begin to understand the phenomenal, amazing ability that is on the inside of you now that God has entrusted to you and given to you, He is not a dumb God. He's not going to give you absolute power without wisdom. And that is why as you go into the Word of God and you renew your mind and you get God's Word in your heart and the deepest level of your beliefs, this will begin to release and you will begin to walk in a power and in an ability that you have never seen before. Father, I pray right now for each person listening to this message. Holy Spirit, wake them up. Wake them up to the incredible thing that has taken place in them if they've given Jesus their lives. And I pray that, Father, they're going to begin to look at God's Word. They're going to begin to meditate it. They're going to begin to connect with you, Jesus. They're going to begin to read and study because they need to know who they are, how to use the Zoe life of God in any situation. Thank you, Father, for your spirit of wisdom. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of revelation. Open the eyes of their understanding. Let there be something new that takes place in this church and those listening to me. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then the Bible says you do not have the life of God. Now, He loves you. You are loved. But He'll never force His life into you. And so it's very clear that every human being walking the planet has been given free will. They are a sovereign being. God allows them to make their decisions. You have to choose Him. And so today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have never believed on Him as your Lord, then right now just say it with your mouth. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. You need to give Him permission. God will never force His way into your life. In fact, you have such sovereignty that you could live your entire life and not choose Him. And He will honor that because He has given you that kind of authority. So today, if you've prayed that prayer, I want to make sure that you let me know. Whichever way you're watching us, if you're in your car, then let us know that I've given my life to Christ. There's some great stuff I can help you out with as to the next steps up to learning. Because to be given this incredible power, to be given all this authority, you won't know how or when to use it, and you won't know how to release that power and ability. So it is as you get into God's Word and you begin to deal with your mind and your deepest beliefs, that things begin to change and you can quickly, this life, this power that's come onto the inside of you, it's something that restores broken hearts and heals you to the deepest core of your being, helps you to forget the heartache and the brokenness, this life-giving power is inside of you right now. And if you've just given your life to Jesus, you are a new creation. But we want to guide you and lead you so that the rest of your life, it just gets gooder and gooder. Bad English, but good point. And so please let us know.